games, gear, grills. Welcome to the Geek Grills Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 122 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills Podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at www.patreon.com/grills. I am Linda, and I am joined by my co-host, September, a.k.a. 9 of 12.
Hello, hello.
And the Jen is back!
Hi!
Yay!
I'm alive.
It's very nice to see you and hear you again. It's been a while.
Yeah. It's nice to touch my computer again.
Right?
I bet. So, what have y'all been up to? Ember, if you want to go first?
Sure. I got some really good feedback on, during a recording of another show and on Twitter from a listener about our mental health episode. And he just wanted to tell me, to tell you, and what a stellar job he felt we did. And he's someone who suffers from anxiety and depression. I told him, I was like, I get nervous. I'm really proud of our deep episodes, but I get nervous about handling it correctly. And he just thought we did a really stellar job and wanted me to know.
Yay. I'm glad.
So that felt good. And it was a relief. And my own follow through and follow up, I had mentioned to folks, call your local law enforcement and see what kind of initiatives they have. And I haven't been able to speak with the Iredell County Sheriffs yet, but I saw the Mecklenburg Health Department on television today. They're a nearby county that's much, much larger. And they're working with a lot of local organizations doing something called the trauma-informed care communities, where they've got people coming in and training people how to deal with people who have PTSD, who have other trauma, who have mental illness, and how to deal with them in situations. And the reporter, Rob Bovaire, he seems like this really great guy, and then he like got right on it, and he was like, so are you working with law enforcement? And I was like, oh, I'm so glad you asked that. But they have a different separate initiative in the related theme where they are working with their local police department. So I wanted to bring that up because I still do intend to follow through with my local town and county departments. And if they don't have anything going, that it could be funded and funneled through your health department might be something they need to know that could be very helpful, that these, you know, programs are out there that could be tapped to in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. My husband went out, I think I was out lift driving, and he got home and he's like, so I met this really cute little lesbian when I went out for a cigarette at the brewery. And she came up to me and was like, you look like someone safe to hang out with and have a cigarette because you're wearing like a Zelda shirt. It's like, yeah, I'm safe space. I'm a nerd. And she is a fan of the show.
That's cool.
She had heard of Geek Grills. He's like, she was kind of fangirling. She like wants to meet you.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's sweet.
That is so sweet and so neat. Like, this is a small town. So I wanted to share that with you guys as well. And today, I went and rented Kingdom Hearts.
Yay!
I'm so excited.
Fusing, we were talking about it coming. Like, is it really, really Xbox? Yes, actually Xbox. So I went to Redbox. I did a 3-day rental to see how I like it, spend a little time with it before I decide to commit, you know, the money to it. I don't think anyone else's house is even interested in playing. And I don't get a lot of game time. But I'm giving it a go. I'm liking it so far.
Cool.
Boy, it's a lot of cinematics.
Yes.
I felt that way when I started Xenoblade, where it was like, wow, this is more watching movies than it is a game. And I'm up to level 7, and that still seems to be the ratio, so I don't know.
Well, Yeah, so I can't remember the name of this particular YouTuber that posted this. It's years and years old because I think it's about Kingdom Hearts 2. But he's talking about Kingdom Hearts 2, and it's like, you're going around and you're not even the main character. You're this weird other character, and you're going doing all these jobs so you can get on the train, so then you can go to the main area. And you're looking around like, boy, I hope we can figure out this mystery. And nothing happens. And then he's like, then he switches over. He's like, and then you're playing Resident Evil. And it's like, you don't have time for a cutscene. Press A, bitch. Press A. It's
Right?
a zombie.
So
And
much, and
I
you
was just
can't
like,
skip them.
oh, man.
But I am enjoying it. It's not super high skill, which I'm fine with. The combat's getting added little by little, so I can sort of figure it out and crafting. There seems to be a lot of little details in combat where it'll get to I'm only going to use the core few the same way I do with Xenoblade. And I have to agree with my son, who was like, the costume designer or the person animating these characters has a serious zipper problem. And I was like, what in the world is he talking about? And then I was like, wow, yeah, this is like fetish level with the zippers. There's like, Donald has zippers across the top of his hat for no reason. Instead of his vest zipping up, it's got two zippers down the side. Every character has zippers. First time I saw Stinky Pete, he was walking away, and there's a big zipper up the back of his pants. Like, I think Maleficent is the only character that does not have zippers from what I've seen.
Hot
Like,
Topic 97 called. They want their outfits back.
right? It's really heavy on the zippers.
Mean, who doesn't like a good zipper, though? I guess. Oh no, I'm bitter about it, and I'm bitter for one reason. I really like my Switch, and there's not even a conversation about it coming to Switch, and that really bums me out because they put so many things on Switch. It's like, am I gonna have Fortnite on Switch? Come on, Square Enix, get out.
Yeah, my kids were surprised it wasn't for the Switch either. But I'm glad at least it came to Xbox. I mean, cripes, I've got two out of three of the main consoles. At least it's on one of them.
Yeah, I'm gonna make the dude friend let me use his Xbox so I can play it.
So, Jen, what have you been up to?
Nothing. I've done nothing for since the last time I've been here. No. I've been sitting in cryostasis for several months. I've been released. No. I was sick multiple times, so okay, flu. I like how the year I get the flu shot, I get like two different strains of the flu, which is just wonderful. Like, that seems
Yay.
like a problem. But every time I was sick, pretty much all I could do was like lay on my couch and watch stream television and then sleep occasionally. So I ended up doing like a rewatch of The West Wing while I was sick over the two times. I think that's my fourth rewatch of it. I think I might
It's a
be.
good show.
Yeah, it's a good show, but I do think it's, well, it might have been my third pass. It was good. But I did that. I've been watching all the weird, like, Criminal Mind. Well, we're doing a rewatch of Criminal Minds again because that's pretty much what I put on all the time. And so that has me in the rabbit hole of all of the crazy, like, stuff in that genre, all the documentaries, like the British, like, Inside the Mind of Kidnappers and Serial Killers and all this crap. And then I watched the Evil Genius documentary. Like, it's like a four-part documentary about the collar bomber, and that is crazy. That was super weird. And then I watched Fire, which is like Fire, the most expensive party that never happened. That was that guy that like ripped people off.
Which
And
one did you watch?
I watched the one on Netflix, but I heard there's one on Hulu.
There is, and apparently the takes are very different. But
Yeah.
I don't have Hulu either, so.
I want to watch that eventually. But what's crazy is that, well, of course, part of the reason I watched it is because I felt compelled to watch it because that's my character name in WoW is Fire Sprite, so people call me Fire, and on servers where I can have it, that's how I spell it. So it's like really uncomfortable. It's like FYRE, and I see it like in my Netflix all the time. I'm like, why is my WoW character name? Oh, that's right. It's a documentary. So I end up watching it, and that guy is a, I don't care how you spin it, that guy is an asshole and rip people off and is kind of shady, but I don't know. I'll watch the Hulu one and see. We're up to RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4 is in episode 7, so I've been watching that. Of course, very excited. I've been playing not really very many games. I was honestly too sick, and my computer hasn't really been working super great. So I've been playing Pokemon Go a lot.
Yay! I noticed I've been getting it. Presents.
Yeah, I get them every day because I have my little tingy. A little teeny. So you can use, I have the Pokeball, which you can use it like, it's like a pedometer kind of, it just hangs out in your pocket, and then you can like catch stuff. And then the cool thing is you can actually use it as a controller with your Switch. You can like get all excited and like throw the ball at things. It's kind of fun. But the cool thing is you can take your Pokemon from Let's Go Eevee on the Switch. That's pretty much the only video game I've really been playing is on my Switch. And I can take my Eevee and I can take her out of the game and put her into ball. And then periodically throughout the day, she'll be like, blah, 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 blah. Like, I want attention. And then I click the button and then she gets all excited. So that and other things that I do on Pokemon Go. And then when I go back in, I take her out of the ball in the game and she has a bunch of XP and she levels
up. It's like an upgraded version of a Tamagotchi.
Yeah, basically. And the cool thing is that you can put, you don't have to put your Eevee or your Pikachu in there. You can actually put other Pokemon in there too from the game. So that's kind of fun. So I've been doing that. Also been pretty busy with the new pupper, Anduin, who we adopted on December 17th. And there was an impression that he was about 4 months old. 3 weeks later, we brought him to the vet. As it turns out, he does not even have his adult teeth starting to come in, which means he was actually like 2 months old. So he's getting much bigger than we had planned. Yay!
Oh, pupper.
So he's really fun. I'm really busy with that. So yeah, that's been keeping me busy too. Cool. I've been busy, kind of.
Well, I mean, when you weren't dying on a couch.
And I'm finishing my move. As you can see, everything is already put away and organized.
No. Shake your head at us. Oh. It's okay. You'll get there. Yeah, I was living out of boxes for like a month and a half. So
everyone,
you'll get there.
Keep showing up for our live stream and watch the progress of Jen's unpacking.
Yeah.
Basically. We got to have like a time lapse event.
And, so, Linda, what about you? See.
Well, I just had a LARP weekend. It was a heated sight, fortunately, because it was really bitter the first night. But fortunately, as I already said, fortunately. Another word. Thankfully, my character had a fur coat, so I didn't really feel the cold all that much. Also, I'm pro at layering. Layering is your friend. Because if you have too many layers, you can take one off. I really needed that, apparently, because when I left work on Friday, I was very much like, fuck this. And then when I came in this morning, I was like, all right, let's get some work done.
Yay, because you don't want fucking o'clock to come too early.
I needed not to be in my own brain space for a while, I guess, which is why I LARP to begin with. I finished two hats for my character, so it's sort of a plushy update.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
The first one is this cloche hat that has a lovely little black flower on it. A little kind of floppy, but it looked really cute.
That
and
is
then
cute.
The other one, that was the one I started on Tuesday last week when we were streaming.
Wait, it was still a yarmulke?
Yes. And then I finished this one, which is the 20s turban style. And then I added a nice big bangle to it because I had an extra one. So that was fun for me to wear and be all, oop. So that was my casual outfit. Yes. It's a very nice sparkly that I've had for quite a few years. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick this on this hat. let's see. Let me get to my notes here on my phone because my Google Chrome isn't working for some reason. So I, after rewatching the most recent episodes of Steven Universe, I realized
Oh, God. No, you're not going to spoil me, right?
No.
I haven't dropped in.
No spoilages.
Okay.
I realized that my design for Pink Diamond off of the pictures that I had was slightly off. So I had, it means I'm going to have to do a bunch of frogging for the project bits that I've already done in my stream.
Say frogging?
For crochet my cosplay. Frogging. Okay, so it's a term that was coined because when you pull out crochet stitches, it's called ripping out your stitches. So if you're doing it, and you do it really quickly, so rip it, you're frogging.
Wow.
It's cute.
Yeah, that's silly. I never heard that.
But
that's good. Don't call it riveting because that's already taken.
No,
that's like
something else. It sounds like something.
So it's something else. But no, it just means that about an hour and 40 minutes of work that I did is going to be totally undone, and I have to start over on the back of again. Hey, it'll be all right. It'll be fine. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that on a live stream or if I'm going to do that off camera and just magically have it done for the next time I live stream. Just be like, it's now a different color and slightly differently shaped. Nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. But that was and that'll happen. The figuring out that I did that wrong was all today. So I was like, well, gotta have to do this and have to do this over here and have to change this slightly. I swear, if I was trying to explain this Frankenstein pattern that I'm doing, I would look like that crazy guy in front of the board with all of the strings going everywhere. So, aliens.
All this while trying to do sequins on something.
And no. Putting sequins on the dress for the fancy party that's happening at the LARP in 2 months. It's fine. Sequins.
I hemmed pants sequins. Today.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so creative.
Ow. Sorry. I just whacked my setup here. Everything's fine. Right, so that's what
busy.
I've been up to.
Busy everybody.
Yes. So I guess, since we're all updated, we can move on to the Geek Grapevine.
Yay!
Yay!
So, today I saw this nifty article that the Spider-Man PS4 game Fantastic Four Suits showed up. And the director was teasing a new project. I've got the article posted here. It'll be in our show notes for everyone to see. And there's a lot of pictures, screen caps, etc. people have taken on them. Now, this brought to mind this whole Avengers thing. My friend Thomas has, and I texted him immediately. I'm like, what was the thing? Because you were so sure Avengers was happening. And I know there was another thing. It was, of course, the Fox deal. But there was also a Fantastic Four, like some kind of anniversary of the comic where this sort of thing got teased. So this is like a third fairly high profile thing hinting that we're going to get a new Avengers.
Mm.
So this looks like a Spider-Man story, but it's really a Fantastic Four story.
All right, sure. I'm okay with you look that, unconvinced. You
know. I don't know how I feel. I have feelings, but I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, Future Foundation is like a thing. I don't know anything about this bag man weirdness. He's got a bag in his head. But I do know a little bit about Future Foundation because that's where Spidey first teamed up with Reed Richards. So it would be a good transition, being that we've got these Spider-Man movies that are doing well, to bring the Avengers back, and now they can. Which they couldn't before because of the bullshit with, like, Fox. I don't know. They weren't the worst movies. But I feel that way about a lot of stuff.
I mean, they were kind of meh movies.
Yeah.
Not bad, but not great.
Some characters. Like,
I almost forgot. That reminded me. Did you guys watch The Rent live on the live Rent performance?
I watched part of it. I saw people I bitching really about it on Facebook and decided to turn it on.
What were they bitching about?
Veronica, sorry, side whatever, comment. Not having the voice to carry it off. But I've never even seen the musical, so I didn't have comparisons. But what I did watch, I was really impressed, really, over the top impressed. And Rob hates musicals, and he even watched the end of it with me. The production value and doing something live. I mean, live on TV is balls out, scary to do anyway. And then to have it be this musical production and all the set stuff they pulled off is just wow.
Yeah, sorry to derail, but I totally forgot to bring it up. It was really, I really agree with you. The whole set design and how they would move from one part to another was really great.
And knowing
also,
theater and tech made that part so much better.
Oh yeah, totally. Cool. Like I did tech myself and I was like, oh my God, how do you do all that? One of the things that cracked me up is I didn't know that he was in it, but the person that played Angel, I was like, damn, that looks just like Valentina, who is a chick that's on All Stars 4, on RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 4 right now.
Yeah, that's what everyone was complaining about.
And then she came out, and I was like, oh my God, that is actually Valentina. Now, to be fair, she was not a good angel, and that makes me a little bit sad, because I could think of like three other drag queens that I know of that would have done a much better job. But aside from her, everybody else was wonderful. I don't think she's ever done anything like that before, though, so I don't know. It's
maybe. I don't know. It's been a very long time since I've watched Rent, and I didn't know it was doing a live thing until after it happened, so.
I want to see Rent, like, so I have other context.
There's actually, the movie version of it isn't bad.
Yeah, it's because, on Netflix.
Because I believe it was the folks that originally did the stage productions, or it's folks that have been in Broadway productions.
Yeah, Idina Menzel is Maureen. You have a lot of people that are really good. In fact, the Collins from that movie is my favorite. He's incredible. And then I'll Cover You, Reprise, makes me cry every time.
The neat thing they did at the end, where I assume that was the original cast that came out and sang with the current, you know, cast.
Yeah, that was exactly what that was. That was really neat.
One of the actors looked really familiar.
And the movie.
Like, I know him from something else and couldn't place it. Older African-American gentleman. I'm like, it's one day I'll see him.
Collins. You'll know. You definitely know him.
That's the guy who was in Rent. And now he does other things and was replaced. But, you know. You want to save our road spill for last?
Eh, sure.
So there's a million articles about this right now, so finding a difficult one. But this one had a lot of sources, and Apple's looking at game subscription service. They made some announcement, I know, yesterday, but it was still a little vague. The speculation is that was going to be like mostly mobile games. But no one's really sure, but it looks like it's going to be like a Netflix-type subscription service for games. Now, this is a big step with Apple, and they might be able to jump right in on this because, I mean, just like with music, they kind of have it locked down. I mean, we can get our podcasts lots of places, you can get music lots of places, but iTunes is really good at it, and they own that market. And with mobile gaming, it's, again, really easy to get a game. If you can get it into their ecosystem, it gets out everywhere without a lot of having to spend a lot on your own advertising and push it. So there's that aspect, but the speculation about whether they're going to get into actual content creation, I find incredibly interesting. Like how
much
of...
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued.
Yeah. I mean, how many cartoon properties we know they have a stake in? Like Pixar stuff?
Well, part of
stuff.
The reason that this is interesting is because Microsoft is doing so much with mobile now. Even Blizzard's developing for mobile. There's so many different things happening there that it's not surprising that Apple would get involved. The difference is that their level of quality is top-notch. So anything that they do put out, you know, is going to be really good.
And it might behoove them to go ahead and work directly with developers because then they can get a bigger cut of all those purchases. But I don't know. Do they want to get into content creation, into software? But I'm really interested and I'm going to keep my eye on it.
I did throw another article in there. It's just an opinion piece. It's been obviously the internet is aflame with Black Panther being the first comic book movie that was nominated for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I'll just include the link just so everybody can have another opinion.
Yeah, we talked about that intense. Last week too.
I know, so that's why I'm just throwing it out there. I just happened to like this. I felt like he took a good angle about talking about it, so I just added that to our links.
Cool. So now the last thing that we got just for you, Jen. We found you.
Oh my God, is that in Sacramento?
I think so.
That's like where I'm from in California.
That's but it hilarious. I found it on the 22nd and it's from the 21st. So I was like, wow, that was really recent, but we saved it for when you were here.
Yay. Okay, let's see here. a semi-truck carrying thousands of pounds of stone spilled its cargo on the freeway in Roseville, which is just outside of Sacramento, on Monday afternoon, blocking lanes and slowing traffic. Stuck in the center lane on eastbound Interstate 80. Oh my God. The traffic log said that the big rig spilled thousands of pounds of marble sheetrock into the road. Jesus. Several thousand pounds of stone were wedged into the back of the big rig. Jesus. So let's see. The traffic log, the debris pile was estimated to be 2.5 feet tall. And it's kind of like, CHP advised the California Department of Transportation to bring a bulldozer or bobcat to push all the marble debris to the shoulder. So it was real bad. And to be fair, it's like under an overpass too, it looks like, which is also not ideal for moving a large, heavy stuff off of the road.
Rocks heavy, yo.
Yeah. Rocks, not light, yo.
I love that the last bit of this coverage includes the navigation service Waze as a source.
That's great because it's more accurate than other things most of the time,
right?
Yeah. As of 5 p.m traffic remained delayed on Interstate 80 with eastbound traffic backed up past Serby Way, according to Live Traffic and Navigation Service Waze. According to Twitter, people are really upset about stuff on the internet.
Right.
That's what it feels like, but it's also accurate. So that's a good one. Yeah, that's actually funny because this makes sense as to I have Facebook posts from friends in that area that now make sense.
Yeah. I also imagine at that point that Waze was like, cut across this ditch and it will save you 2 hours.
No, because seriously, like 80, there's nothing else. It's a major route. And a lot of people like work in Roseville and like commute back home to Sac or live or vice versa. So it's kind of crazy that to have anything on 80 is not a good time. Not a good time. Hashtag not a good time. That's a good one though.
Yay. Getting back into it. So our discussion topic, we attempted to do this discussion topic last week and we had some technical issues. More specifically, Ember's computer started yelling at her for no reason. And so we're going to do it again. So this week we are doing the ethics of keeping pets. Discussion go.
To clarify, this is not a conversation about unique fetish lifestyle.
No.
We are talking about animal pets. No,
not those type of pets. We're talking about the small, usually small, four-legged furry types. Or fish. Or lizards. Whatever floats your boat.
Well, and large pets have a whole other, there's an ethical problem that we didn't get into last week, but I did want to introduce in the conversation how we felt about zoos or people that do keep large pets, people get permits, but this whole I mean, this article I did find was really vanilla, and I'm sorry I didn't get more research done, even given time. But it's only ethical to keep pet if both the animal's biological and psychological needs are met. And, I mean, I would love to have a cougar. And if I could afford, had a bunch of land and, you know, 65 pounds of meat a day, I believe, is what my friend who had a panther needed. That might be interesting. But it's not good. Not with pack animals. I mean, it's just screw.
I personally think that chokes that, and obviously rescue centers are a different thing entirely, but folks that keep exotic animals, wild animals as pets, I think they're slightly cracked in the head. They may have the best intentions and they may love their animals, but that is not a thing that belongs in your house. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about big cats and things like that.
Well, and I had, I don't know where that pet store got it, but I thought it was cute when I was young and stupid, and I bought a Texas ground squirrel, and that should not have been a pet. It was feral. It was cute and furry, and it fit in a tank, and it would eat what I gave it, but no, it didn't want to be petted, didn't want to be touched, it would bite people. I don't know how they got permission to sell it. Probably shouldn't have. I find that it's generally the same case with stuff like chinchillas. Like, why? Why are you doing that?
Yeah, there's a lot of pets that if it's incredibly complicated to take care of them because they have very, very specific lifestyles, or there is I feel like if you can't give them that habitat that they really need to thrive, that's when I have a problem. Now, I have lots of pets. I have owned lots of pets. I love going to the zoo. I think zoos are awesome. Some people don't like the idea of them having zoos, but also at the same time, even though, yeah, you are having animals living in enclosures, a lot of those animals have space that's designed specifically for what it would be like if they were in their natural habitat. Like, we have the Arizona or the Sonoran Desert Museum here, and we have like a mountain lion and a bear, and like there's a couple things there, and they have everything set up the way that they would need to, you know, exist, and wolves and things like that. But then also all of that money that's earned from people going and visiting the Arizona Desert Museum is going directly to going back to animal well-being and environmental funds. So at least you know it's helping that on a bigger scale.
And I think that's a whole different thing that there should be, I mean, people should be more aware of, and government should be more careful about letting places, I mean, if it's for rehab purposes, if it's protecting an endangered species to breed and bring back in the wild, there are legitimate good reasons to have zoos. But there have been an unfortunately large number of irresponsible zoo owners just trying to make a buck, and tragedy ensues, whether for people or the animals, from things not being done properly. Very catch and release. As much as you can, person.
Yeah, I have a hard time because we've been gaming. I've been playing Pathfinder again, and the game store that we play at is right next to a pet store. That really hurts my soul because there's this pet store where people can pay thousands and thousands of dollars for these like genetically modified animals, you know what I mean? Weird like combinations, or like purebred to the point that they have health problems. You can pay thousands of dollars for that, and then I go down to my animal shelter, and there are hundreds, thousands of animals that need homes. Some of them purebred, some of them like the kind of dog that they're getting, it just may not be that exact, you know, whatever.
Oh yeah.
That exact breed, but they need homes. And then people, I guess that brings up another issue with responsibility. People, one of the reasons that I get, it's hard to want to encourage pet ownership, is that everybody wants a pet, but not everybody is capable of taking care of them or is doing the right thing for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and just outright, now that we understand that overbreeding and inbreeding is a thing, it's horrifying. Like, there's no excuse.
When
we should
I
be
think,
doing that.
Well, and I think that the ones, you know, humans kind of have a responsibility to these animals that are so, they're bred so far away from their wild brethren that if they were to, you know, be out on their own in the wild, they wouldn't survive. We have a sort of a responsibility to them because we screwed them up that badly.
Well, yeah, but yeah, instead, what we have is like dogs that were bred for racing or for, you know, like greyhounds is a good example of that, or pit bulls for fighting. And it's our responsibility. I understand wanting to preserve a specific species because you appreciate it, because it's beautiful, because it's, you know, useful, because it has good relationship with humans. German shepherds have a lot of the same stuff, but then we know better, and we can, you do something like join the kennel club and they're getting better about keeping track, such things, go ahead and take that responsibility. And if you're going to breed, do it with someone who's not related closely, so you could preserve the species without causing, you know, genetic dysfunction, hip dysplasia, blindness, any number of things that happen when you're doing that, because then they're using the animals and throwing them away.
Several friends that have dogs that they got that are purebred and died within 5 years. That's not normal.
No.
That's not okay. And they're not bad dog owners either. It's just that the dogs are unhealthy because of the way that they're bred. But I think one of the things I don't think it's unethical to own pets. I think that pets have been part of the human existence for a very long time. In ancient Egypt, they had pets. You go far back in all over the world, you're going to see, you know, dogs have been kept for a very, very long time. And I think it's healthy. I think that, like, I understand when a family wants to have a dog, it could be a guard dog. It can provide, you know, some extra security for the family. I know my dog did growing up. And then on top of that, there's a certain amount of responsibility that comes with taking care of a critter. And like growing up, you know, my job was to feed the dog, walk the dog, and make sure that, you know, it was taken care of. And I learned a lot of responsibility doing that growing up.
It's a good thing to, you know, have that. I mean, same with me. I had pets all growing up, and that was learning how to do chores was part of it. I'd feed the dog and the cat. The dog loved me. The cat didn't want to be near me. So,
you know, and learning. It brings to mind that, and I'll find the link and I'll put it in our show notes. Neil Gaiman recently read a Terry Pratchett poem about death. And it was framed in that having pets, and you don't learn stuff. Your parents don't teach you stuff. You learn it by yourself, and pets being part of that process, because they don't live as long as we do. And I mean, it's an unfortunate part of it, but unless you're committing to only until your animal's not convenient and making it someone else's problem, or putting in a kill shelter or whatever people do, abandoning animals, you're going to have to deal with that. And it becomes an opportunity in the human experience about, you know, your responsibility to the relationships around you if someone passes.
Yeah, I think that adopting an animal or purchasing an animal, whatever means you feel comfortable with, you have to understand the commitment that you're making. It's like the pet store has on it, like if you go to a PetSmart, it says like these things typically live this long. Like you have to think about that. This could be a 12-year investment in time and effort and energy. And I one time had to, I had to take two cats that I had to the shelter. Well, they were adopted out. I made sure to take them to a no-kill shelter and all that, but I wasn't giving them the life that they were used to. A lot of things happened in my life. I had to move cross country and I was staying in a very small efficiency, and it wasn't fair to those two cats who I love dearly to be living in that environment that I had to take them and help them find a better, more appropriate home. And the problem is not a lot of people are willing to kind of recognize that. And that's what bothers me, is how many animals are out there in that way.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, people, you know, they've got their issues and they need, you know, they think pets are going to fill some kind of gap the way people do with children. And I'm sorry, and I know it pisses off some of my animal loving friends, but they're like my fur babies. That whole term, it bugs me. I have kids, so there is a distinct damn difference, like, to also, me, and I understand you're really attached to everything, but if you're being overly attached girlfriend about your pets, where you're carrying them around and dressing them in clothes and you can't go anywhere without them, and they're like your children, and you're gonna end up being that cat lady who's 1,000 feral cats in your house because you don't realize every cat needs 5 people to interact with, or they're not being taken care of their social needs. They're just not.
Tiny shirt for your dog.
It's a very one-sided thing.
I mean, like that person that would put their dog in a Marvel t-shirt. No, I'm just kidding.
But you wouldn't do it if they hated it.
Also, right?
There's a big difference there. I'm not going to go into debt for the rest of my life and die poor because my dog needs surgery. I'll have the dog put down. I wouldn't do that for my kid. And people who would seriously just go broke trying to preserve some small quality of life for an animal that's only going to live a couple years anyway, I don't get it.
Can I also point out that cats are not babies? Cats are drunk 2-year-olds. They don't listen to you and they never learn. And they knock all this shit over. But, there's definitely the difference. And, you know, having had to put down animals that, you know, I love. So any creature, apparently, that I touch lives twice as long as it's supposed to. I had a rabbit that was supposed to live for 7 to 8 years, and it was 11 when it passed away. But I couldn't. She got to the point where, like, she wasn't eating or drinking, and I took her to the vet, and they're like, yeah, she's got ovarian cancer. Oh. And they were telling me that the surgery was, you know, this, this, and this much. And they're like, but she's already very, very, very old. They were like, older than most rabbits we've seen, actually. I was like, oh, cool. I'll take that as a compliment, I guess. So, you know, it's hard, but you're right. It's like, there comes a point where you're not going to treat your animal like an actual child.
That said, you should come over and meet Bagheera because he's 12 and I'm starting to get, like, worried.
Oh.
I love this cat so much. This cat, like, takes care of me. This cat.
Is he your nurse cat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's my nurse cat. He's my guard cat. Like, my dogs have never been shit for that, but we all feel like if somebody came in the house, Bagheera would fuck him up.
Just out about from the ceiling, meow.
Yeah, when the kids are little, like, if I go for a nap upstairs and, like, the kids try to come upstairs, Bagheera would, like, sit on the stairs and, like, never with a nail out, never with a claw out, but jump up and, like, scare them, like, bat them away, like, leave mom alone. Like, he's a good boy.
It's one of those things where, you know, you're right. I don't have children, and of course I adore my pets and they're a very important part of my life, but I've also had pets that have passed, and I had pets that are stolen, you know, I mean, obviously.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and like one of the other pets that I had, you know, died of cancer last year. And, you know, those are, granted, he wasn't with me at the time, but, you know, they get sick and they, you're right, you know, you can't, like what I do with my cats, I mean, you technically can do that with children, but you shouldn't, like, be like, hey, I've had these things for a couple of years and, you know, it's just not working out. I'm gonna go ahead and put them in the system, you know, like that's not how you handle people. And there is a difference, but at the same time, you just, it is important that they're respected as living creatures that, you know, have
and it's not that there is a bond there, obviously. I mean, humans will pack bond with anything. I think I said that in the last time we discussed this.
Yeah, you had an interesting point about, you know, that humans are pack animals. I have a friend who went to this study about wolves and humans that tackled that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not surprising that because, you know, the way that humans survived to this point is that we formed societies and kept things from eating us. So it's not surprising that we would transfer that to something, you know, small and something that will cuddle with us and make us feel better, give us that
something
nice dopamine.
Something that has a limbic system.
Yeah.
I feel weird that I'm keeping fish because I'm not going to eat them. But you guys know the story. I rescued the fish. You know, the old lady behind me passed away and she had a pond full of fish and it was just completely algae ridden. There were dead animals in it. And my son and I did the work and drained the pond and rescued, I can't remember, it was like 12 fish or something at the end of it. And I have three, but I homed the other ones only like 2-3 at a time to people that had full ponds to put them in. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I guess even a fish deserves a certain amount of space. But I still feel like they're just pretty to look at. Like, but I can't just set them free. They're not indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'd probably live. I mean, they're goldfish, so they're basically carp. Maybe I should let them go. One's really big. Might make a good meal one day. But it's not like I'm getting comfort. Well, they're meditative, I guess, in a way. But that's very selfish
also...
way to keep a pet.
Yeah, I mean, they're also cat TV if your cat likes to watch them swimming around.
Lil, my deaf cat, likes to get up on the tank and drink the water. That's a little unnerving. Yeah, when we first got the fish tank, the cats would sit and watch. Like, Rob took a picture, was like, oh, look, it's Food Network for cats. But, I don't know, you can't just decide you're not compatible and ditch them, and people do that all the time. Granted, there's wonderful people out there who do amazing rescues. I have conflict about when our older dog passes, if I'll ever get another dog. And it was very much with the kids. We have a kids. We have a yard. We can rescue dogs. We can give them a place where they can run and play, and the kids will be companions. And we had two to keep each other company and teach responsibility with chores. But I don't need to be doing all that. I think my husband would like a small dog, but I don't feel good about inbreeding specific species. So I don't know if we'll ever have another dog.
Yep.
And cats, they're a little different. I have two that can live outside. Mm-hmm. One I raised from a bottle. And he's indoor-outdoor, and I know a lot of people have a problem with that, but there's a lot of research on that, too. And some cats are just not okay in just indoors. The other one we rescued from, he had his shots. He had been fixed. Somebody did own him, and whether kicked him out, abandoned him, maybe he got lost. But he kept staying at my friend's house and coming on her porch, and she was feeding him, but she couldn't take him in because hers are mean. And I picked him up and brought him home, and he's indoor outdoor, and he comes home every day, sleeps here every night, and he's happy that way. But our third cat is white haired with blue eyes, so she's mostly deaf. And those of you that out there that don't realize that, if you have a white cat with blue eyes you're going to adopt, be aware it's probably deaf. It's a genetic thing. And so she can never, ever go outside. And we have to be very careful about it. Not only is she a target because she's deaf, but she's white.
Yeah.
We have birds big enough to just take off with her around here. We have, you know.
You big old hawks. Like, I know that our big 17-pound cat could probably survive outdoors. And he darts for the door every time we open it. But he's a dumbass. And I'm like, you are too stupid to be an outdoor cat. So we keep him in and we try and keep him occupied. I'm still thinking I'm going to leash train him. I'll put him on the leash and walk him outside under supervision.
Yeah, I have a friend who's leash trained his cat. It's mind boggling to me. I don't think I've ever owned a cat that would put up with that, but I've learned a lot of really good things about indoor only cats. Being really helped by having high surfaces where they can climb around, like that mine can jump to the chair, to the mantle, and then they kind of go across the entertainment center out up on the curtains, and it just, my house happens to work that way, but people have built whole little ramp systems, and because they do like to climb, and get vantage points because of their hunter instincts. If they never get to hunt and they have to stay inside, that's something that can be done.
So if y'all want to chime in and tell us your thoughts and feelings on pet ownership and whether it's ethical and whether
or it's not,
you have a pet or if you don't have pets, if you do have pets, you can always email us at geekgrills@gmail.com, or you can give us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at geekgrills. So what are y'all up to this coming week, huh? Amber?
Probably not a lot. New Pokemon Go raids. new dragon coming out, so that'll be neat. So I'm gonna,
It's cool looking.
So I'll be doing that and hopefully some more Lyft driving because I'm still trying to get the rest of that tattoo money in the bank.
And what about you, Jen?
I am on Push to Talk. I had this moment of like, what am I? Oh, yes, I have to push the button. More Pokemon Go. Last weekend was the first weekend we took Pupper to the park. So we're going to do that again because it's awesome. Also, he's been having a puppy class that we've been taking him to so he can socialize. And because he's so young, it's like so many things I've always rescued, and rescues are not normally this young, so it's weird to go through the early puppy stages because usually, you know, people don't, like, puppies are already gone, you know, and it's the other dogs that are available. So it was surprising to have such a little guy. Hanging shelves in my house so that stuff is not in bins behind me, but someday on walls. And then I'm going to go see a movie this week. I don't know what I'm going to go see, but I haven't actually been to a movie in like 2 months. So I'm going to go do that.
If it's still playing, Into the Spider-Verse is very good.
That is that and also Glass. So our primary.
How about you, Linda?
I'm going on a trip to Disney World.
Woo! Yay! Woo! Oh, I watched the Walt documentary. You should watch that. It's good.
We're actually going from Sunday to Wednesday. We'll be driving back. We have enough time to go to one park and probably Disney Springs. Some of our friends are coming with us, a couple of whom have never been. And normally you would do like Magic Kingdom or something if somebody's never been, but we haven't been to Animal Kingdoms. Like, I haven't been since I was 10. So it's changed a little bit, and I'd like to go see it because we didn't actually manage to get there when we were in Disney World on our honeymoon. So that's going to be fun. I'm going to get all the pins. I have to decide which trading pins I'm going to take with me to trade and to buy. I'm excited.
Yay. I got a cool pin. My friend Leanne just went to Disney and brought me a great Maleficent pin.
Ooh.
They didn't even make her skin green, which made me so happy. So remember, folks, you can always watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on Tuesday evenings. Our next one will be February 5th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, which is that still 5:30 Pacific? Yeah.
Yes. 5:30 Pacific, 6:30 Mountain, 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern.
Blah.
Yay.
Blah.
In addition to the subs and bits we get on Twitch, just remember we are supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills/ I'm going to get harassed for saying www in that web address. Also, don't forget that if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub for free every month. Give us Jeff Bezos' money. Oh,
wait, right? No. It's free. Tell your friends who have Prime and don't even like Twitch.
Get your grandma's account set up.
Yeah.
Parents. They don't use Twitch and you know it.
And then you can also leave us a review on any of your podcast catchers. Doing so is free and it helps people find our podcast, which is great. You can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word there. And where can we find y'all on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9 of 12. That's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast and the Trust Your Cape podcast.
Jen?
I am at the Jen Says on Twitter, and hopefully soon I will make my triumphant return to twitch.tv/thejenplace.
Okay, and you can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, which comes out on the first of every month. And you can find me here on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.